You can see how close Caister Castle is from here. One of the troubles about possession of Caister was not only its importance to the Pastons as a prestigious property for my ambitious and strong-willed family, but also its importance to the surrounding area, and indeed Mortby. As my mother wrote in a letter to my elder brother, John II,
"It is said secretly by those who are at Caister that I am likely to have little good from Mortby, if the Duke of Norfolk still has possession of Caister. And if we lose that, we lose the fairest flower in our garland."
It's quite a saga how we came to own Caister Castle. It all started with a relative of my mother's, Sir John Falstaff. Yes, he was the inspiration for Shakespeare's Falstaff, though Shakespeare used quite a lot of poetic license, and the real Sir John was much more formidable than the one penned by the bard. Sir Falstaff was a Knight of the Garter, and his great success in the wars in France with the warrior king Henry V made him a very wealthy man indeed. Falstaff amassed over 80 estates in Norfolk and Suffolk. My father, John Paston I, was a close friend of Sir John Falstaff and his legal adviser for many years. As the knight was childless, on his deathbed in 1459 he made a will in favour of John Paston.
"I, being in my master Fastolf's chamber, heard my said master and John Paston conclude that after his decease, John Paston should cause to be founded a college at Caister of 7 monks or priests, and that John Paston should have all the live load that was of my said master in Norfolk and Suffolk to him and his heirs in freehold ownership. This is the deposition of Robert Fitzralph, Esquire, 26 November 1459.
My mother quickly moved into two of Falstaff's estates, Helsdon and Caister, but it didn't take long for a storm of troubles to arise. There are rival claimants in Suffolk and in Norfolk, and the disputes have become more and more aggressive by the day. The Duke of Suffolk's men soon were encroaching upon our land at Drayton with his false claims of ownership and attacking our tenants at Helsdon.
The Duke of Suffolk's servant brought a bailiff and let us plainly know that if you or any other of your servants took any distress at Drayton, even for the value of a hen, they would come to Helsdon and take it for the value of an ox. And if they are prevented from doing so, then they will go into any live load that you have in Norfolk or Suffolk and take a distress, just as they would at Helsdon."
My poor father. He would deal with litigation over Falstaff's estates for the rest of his life. He died in 1466, with a grand funeral procession carrying his body to be interred at Bromholm Abbey. With the torchbearers, the masses said for his soul, and the alms given out to the poor, it was a funeral worthy of his true position in the county. However, the dust hardly settled, unfortunately, when my brothers, John II and John the Younger, took up the fight over the Falstaff estates. This time, the attack was not from the Duke of Suffolk, but the Duke of Norfolk. So, let's move on to our next stop on the walk. Press pause, and I'll join you at a magnificent view of Caister Castle, where I can share with you the story of the Battle of Caister.